Welcome back to the Jet Plane. This is season 1, episode 10. Silas, we've reached the deca.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the Latin root word?
I believe so. It feels like a threshold.
It does feel like a threshold. So today is episode 10. I am one of your pilots, Joseph, and as always in the cockpit with me is Silas. And so
glad to be here, Joe. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Silas, you were a little late today. I was a little disappointed. You know?
I was.
You know, I guess it wasn't by your own doing, though.
No.
You're not a late person.
No.
You come from a long line of late people, though.
I've tried to break the mold over years, but I don't always succeed.
Right. I mean, I'd say you're 90% of the time you're on time. I'm probably more of a late person than you are, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah. Well, joining us today in the cockpit is none other than my own dad. We've had your dad on here a few times now, so only fitting, you know, bringing on my own dad, Randy Tempest. Welcome to the studio.
I mean, I am glad to be here. Thanks, Joseph. Thanks, Silas. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. This feels, you know, interesting because I feel like, maybe you don't feel this way, Joe, but I feel like Randy's one of our biggest fans. He's the person I usually hear feedback from.
Long time listener, first time caller.
I am a first time caller. I am so excited to be here in this very cold and without artwork.
Without artwork, yes. Yeah. So we still need the artwork.
Yeah, let's get some Facebook. Get something in here, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe not drawn from you or Silas and I.
No.
But someone who's creative.
Someone talented. Yeah. Would be nice.
All right, so we usually start the episode with a little bit of turbulence, but today we're taking off right now, and this part of the flight might be a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. We're going to hit turbulence a little bit later, because first we have something that we need to cover. So before we started recording, our guest, Randy, decided to say that he needed to challenge a couple of our facts from our last turbulence. So go ahead and let us... What is it that you need to challenge?
Yeah, so I was just listening the other day, and I'm like, okay, these two guys, I mean, I don't know what you've been listening to with your research on plane crashes.
I think the term you use was clowns.
A couple clowns. I was trying to be nice. Like, how do I say? Yeah, a couple clowns. It's like a clown show on here. But Silas, you know, you were sharing, I think yours is pretty accurate. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You talked about people getting really nervous on the airplane and to they would just be looking forward and not even moving, even though there could be a trouble or they're getting ready to crash. You know, they get so nervous. But Joseph, you gave this corny stat that, you know, they did research where they dropped a plane from 10,000 feet in the air. It just dropped down and the people in the back, they just walked off. Like they're walking off with their Coke in their hand still and they got their bag of peanuts. Like, that wasn't too bad while they're stepping over the corpses of the people in the front. Ridiculous.
To be fair, there was no people in this plane. It was a study done by like impact sensors on the seats. So they said they could have just walked off the plane. Obviously, they may not have just walked off the plane, but they could have.
They said that, but the way that you put it on the podcast made us as the listeners think, oh, wow, I'll just sit in the back and I can just walk right off, no problem. Yeah. I had to challenge it. I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. So now I feel better. Now we can move on.
All right.
Okay, that's good.
Well, everyone, keep your seatbelts on just in case we crash, so you can just safely walk
off. I'm heading to the back of the plane. I know I'll be all right then.
It's the jet plane guarantee that if you're sitting in the back, you're walking away
with
your coat in your hand.
No problem.
All right, well, keep your seatbelts on because, Silas, I think it's time for you to hit the people with the turbulence.
All right, excellent. Now, I've decided to take a different direction this week, and I told Joe right before we started today that the turbulence was actually about him. And that's because yesterday, Randy, you know, I was over at your house.
Yep.
And your wife, Lori, brought up the fact that we were looking for artwork for the studio and that she had a box of Joseph's art that he had made in elementary school downstairs. And me and Joe have gone through this box before. This is nothing new here, but it's always a joy to go through this box. If you're really, really wanting to know Joe, I would recommend going through this box. It's a veritable treasure trove of cool stuff in there.
Oh, boy.
And I wanted to bring up two of my favorite things that we found in there. The first one, because it concerned me personally. The second one, because I kind of want to put you on the spot a little bit, Joe, and see if you can explain some of your behavior in elementary school. So the first one was seemingly something made for Christmas. It was a little gift, and when you pulled it, it opened into a little note that presumably Joe had written. And in it, he had to describe, if he were a gift, what gift would he be and who would he give that gift to? And in this card, he wrote, if I were a gift, I'd be a pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards and I'd give it to Silas.
Hey, that's good for you.
It was. I thought, I've never felt, you know, like somebody gave me such a good gift before, and I didn't even get the gift.
Very honored. Were you into Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Oh, absolutely. As a young child, yes. Yeah. And I would have loved that gift, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
I would have wondered where my friend Joe went as I'm playing with the Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Right.
But it turns out he was. But what a weird assignment. What a weird assignment.
Yeah, that is weird.
Now, to put you on the spot, Joe, again, I hate to do it, but one thing that was discovered in there was something you may have to explain to the people at home. Your mop form.
Oh, boy.
Can you fill us in?
Why did they keep that?
I'm not sure. That is strange. Your mom saw that and said, this is going to be a memory someday.
Yeah, that is going to go in the... Yeah, so a mop form, I don't even remember what it stood for. It was basically in elementary school, if you got in trouble, they gave you a mop form to fill out. It's like, how did this hurt me? How did this hurt others? Or how did this hurt property?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to fill it out basically so that way you feel bad about it or something. I don't even know why they made you fill it out, I guess. Oh, because you probably had to have your parents sign it. That's probably why.
Oh, yeah.
So there was one time that, you know, I was on the bus in elementary school with one of my friends. And this friend isn't anyone I've talked to for probably 20 years. But, you know, we were joking back and forth with each other. I don't remember. I think we were, like, calling each other fat or something. Like, we were just giving each other a hard time. This third-party kid who was on the bus, not one of us two, turned us in to one of the teachers when we got off the bus saying that we were being mean to each other. We weren't even mad at each other. But then the teacher started getting mad at us, so then we had to start blaming each other for starting it. And then we both ended up writing mop forms for this. So I was like, it wasn't even a bad, like, I mean, we were just joking around, and then it turned into like a big hassle. So,
oh yeah.
Part
of the reason I bring that up is that when Lori lifted this out of the box and started reading it, first she commented on how bizarre it was that you were calling each other fat. If you haven't seen a picture of Joe in elementary school, I don't know that fat is the term that I would use.
Right.
But the second thing she said was, I wonder if Joseph remembers getting in trouble for this. And I guaranteed her. I said, I know that Joe will remember this.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about it in the years since this happened.
I remember sitting in Miss Conti's office writing it. I don't even know what I put.
They sent you to the school counselor. That's how serious this was.
It was a serious matter. So they had to get to the bottom of that. So
No doubt.
So in more important matters.
I'm glad that turbulence is over.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Sal. I appreciate you putting me on the spot for the turbulence. So.
I had to let the people know what kind of person's talking to them each week.
Yeah. I've turned around my behavior. I've become a better person because of that.
I've not even heard him call anybody fat in years.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So, like I said, yeah, we've got Randy in the studio today. And, you know, one of the main reasons that we wanted to bring you in today is because you have a big trip coming up here. We've been talking, you know, if you haven't been listening to layovers, go listen to the layovers. But the layovers are basically trying to narrow down this 54-10 to one country at a time, one story at a time, just to kind of give people feet on the ground experience of what's going on when Edward and Sam are on these 54-10 journeys. One thing that's unique that most people don't get to experience is actual feet on the ground experience with the 54-10 stories, which is what you're going to experience here in just a couple weeks, or really a week. Going to Angola, right?
That's right. Going to Angola. We leave in about 4 or 5 days from right now.
And you are going to Angola, but you're hitting other countries, right?
Yeah, so there's going to be 4 total countries that are going to be trained pastors that are coming to us in Angola. So it's besides Angola, there's the Congo, the what's the other one we just said? The Republic of Congo,
the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yeah, the DROC, and then Silas,
Sao Tome and Principe.
So it's a little island right off of Angola. And there will be people coming from each of those countries to us, I believe, in 3 different locations that we're going to be able to train. So we really don't have a good idea of what to expect, how many, and I don't even know where we're going, but I'm going, and it's coming up soon. So I'm very excited, and I also have a feeling of that first time again, you know, getting to go back. So looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. Can you explain... I don't know. I think that's such a cool thing to say. And you said that at the beginning of the podcast, too. And I thought it was so cool when you said it then. Or not the beginning, but before the podcast. That it feels, even though you've been to Africa numerous times, been to different countries in Africa, probably more times than most people listening to the podcast, you said this feels like the first time. Then you repeated it just then. Can you explain what you mean by that?
And how many times have you been, just to give everyone an idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's around 20 times now that I've been to Africa. And I remember growing up as a kid, I would have never thought I'd ever go to Africa in my life. Like, not once. And here I am now, about 20 times into it, and have been going for about 17 years now. So, you know, the reason I say that, Silas, is this time is different. I've been going to Liberia and Uganda, and I've gone enough that I know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I know what it's going to be like pretty much each time I go. And even when we take new people, it's interesting because I will try to help them relax because I'm like, it's no big deal. I can tell you all about it. But now I kind of remember what they feel like because we're going to a country, as I met with Sam the other day. He's like, look, I've never been there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to expect. So for me, it's excitement. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a little anxiety, not in a scared way, but in a just that anxious. Like I'm almost, it's like before playing a sport, like before the game, I'm ready for the game to start. And that's kind of where I'm at now as we leave next week to go there. But yeah, it feels like the first time. And with not knowing what to expect, there's a comfort in not knowing too, because I have to rely on God. Like I have to lean back into Him. And I think I've been reminded that some of these other trips haven't quite felt that way. So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what a cool way to put it. Absolutely.
And you know, we joked about your long-time listener, first-time caller here, but you have been listening to the Layover podcast, which is pretty interesting because it is Sam and Edward really laying out what's going on in the countries. And a lot of times, you know, we don't get to hear most of those stories. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what you've heard there and kind of, you know, how that may have sparked some more, I guess, unknown or anxiety. You know, what you've thought listening to the Layover podcast, knowing that you're about to be there.
Yeah, it's a lot of different emotions thinking about those layovers because, I don't know, there's four or five that you've done that I've listened to up to this point. And each of them comes with stories that they're so impactful, they're so deep. And I was saying that, you know, before we got started, there's a lot of history that I'm learning of the countries. But just hearing, obviously, the life change, but also the unknown. And the things that Sam and Edward have encountered on these trips. And a lot of it, at times, it feels a little dangerous, a little unknown. It feels sometimes miraculous. There's just so many things, and I don't have a clue what to expect. And I'm a pretty, you guys both know me, I'm pretty buttoned up, so to speak, right? I like to have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and know what I'm doing. And you might say be in control. And this is 100% out of control, Silas, or some turbulence, right, is what I'm feeling, you know, going into this. So, yeah, I mean, those have really alerted me to the reality of what they've been doing, which is they're trying to take hope. They're trying to take the gospel and teaching into these other countries. And they encounter, as they talk about, confrontation almost literally at every single place they go. So, you know, in my mind, I've just kind of been thinking and praying about, like, okay, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what kind of confrontation. I don't have a clue what that even means, but I know that God's going to go with us, and I'm looking forward to it. So, but yeah, it comes with a lot of unknown.
Absolutely. And now, the way you talk about the, I guess, the unknown, the rumblings, the all those feelings that you're kind of feeling going into this, how do you feel like that's going to color your future trips? I mean, not even just to unknown places, but even to the places you've been to before, because you talk about how that feeling of unknown, you feel like that's kind of what people who've not been on the trips before feel like, that you've had to reassure them on, and now you're in those people's feet, or not feet, but in their shoes to some degree. So how do you feel like that's going to affect your role as a leader on those trips?
It's a great question and great point. I'm gonna not be so arrogant. I feel like unknowingly, I've just been arrogant because I feel like I could look at somebody and say, you have nothing to worry about. Just come. And I mean that, and I'm not literally being arrogant, mm-hmm. but my attitude and my heart was really not helping them to prepare in the sense that, yeah, you do need to come with faith. You do need to come with the unknown. You do need to come and be prepared to not be in control, because I'm at that point on a lot of those trips where I feel like that. And even so, the interesting part is I'm really not even over in Liberia or Uganda either, because each trip is different. You know, Sam and I were talking the other day about this trip, and he said, you know, I've never been on this trip before. Mm-hmm. And we say that a lot to the teams, that no one's ever been on this trip that we're getting ready to take. And that's what we're getting ready to do. So yeah, going back to your question, I'm going to have more excitement to share with somebody that, yeah, I don't know. Mm. I don't know, but that's okay. Because that's when you walk on faith. You know, when you don't know, you're forced to lean back into your faith and to just trust God completely. And that's where I want to be. So I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing too, just, you know, on a personal note, because I happen to know you, you know, a little bit. Personally.
Yep.
You know, part of some people's hesitation, and I'd say almost everybody's hesitation with going on these trips, is you're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And you work a job that you're very busy. On top of the anxiety and anticipation of an unknown trip, I guess, how do you, you've been 20 times to Africa approximately, how do you manage that, I guess, for our listeners who may have been once, may have been 5 times, may not be at all, may have been 85 times, you know, what's your process of working through knowing, okay, I'm about to get 2 weeks behind on work, adding to the anxiety and everything else that goes along with the trip, how do you put that behind you and really just be on the trip?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it. You know, there's a saying that Sam actually said years ago, so I'm going to give him credit for this, that people give it to me now, the credit for it. But I say we get to a lot instead of we have to, but mm-hmm. it's a get to. And that's a different mentality, right? A different yeah. perspective. And as I prepare for this, you're right. I work a job that has a lot of responsibility, and I have, you know, an amazing team. So I know that they're going to be there. I know that, you know, everybody's going to support me in that, and they do outstanding. But it is a lot to prepare for, both mm-hmm. work and home, and just so many things to do. And I look at it as a get to. And when I do that, it allows me to remember that what I'm getting ready to do is so unique and so amazing. And I don't know that I'll ever be able to get to do it again. Even though I feel like I'm going to 100 more times, life is not promised. You know, it's yeah. it can change quickly.
And really what you're doing is more important than work.
It is more important.
But it's hard to view it that way from our American eyes a lot of times.
It is. And what it does, and I actually was talking with my boss today, and I was telling her that, you know, you'll get a better me on the flip side of this, even though for 2 weeks I'm going to be gone and right. I'm going to miss mm-hmm. so much. Because, and here's why, Joseph, my perspective changes mm-hmm. every single time. Even though I know what that it will change, I'm always baffled at how I go over and God radically changes me. He meets me there, because not that he doesn't meet me right here, but I'm just more aware of it. I get away from my own surrounding. I get away from my own worries, my own responsibilities. So yeah, it's really a perspective changer. It's going to make me better. I know that. And I also just have to trust that it'll get done. The work will still be there, right? The yard will, mm-hmm. that grass that grows, I'll cut it when it gets back. And all those emails, I'll get to them. So I have to look at it as a get to, and it is. And you're right, it's more important than what I do at my job or really what I do anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And something I feel like is kind of cool about that is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously I don't walk in your shoes, but I'm sure that people notice that you're gone. I'm sure that people notice that you're not there. And so that seems like it would almost open up an opportunity for the mission field to continue when you get back, when people ask, you know, like, why have you been gone? Oh, yeah. Why haven't you been here for 2 weeks? So how do you continue that mission field when you get home with those opportunities that present themselves in your work life?
Yeah, that's a great point, because everybody knows, like today and this week, I've been prepping everybody. Hey, I'm going to be gone. Here's, and you know, where are you going? What are you doing? And then when I get back, everybody wants to know, you know, you get that standard question. You guys have both been there. How was Africa? And, mm-hmm. you know, we always say it's an unanswerable question.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But how do I keep it going is I just share. You know, I get to share the stories. And I think the layovers that you guys have done here in the jet plane are actually really inspiring, as well as just to this show, this podcast that you do every week, because it's giving me more to think about as I hear these stories. I think, man, that's so impactful. And I've been there. So sometimes, Silas, I've strayed away, or I've been too quiet. I haven't shared as much because, well, do they really want to know it? You know, they just want to talk about work. And the reality of it is, I need to share it. I need to keep the mission going by sharing that. So yeah, I'll have all kinds of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I've invited a lot of people at work in different places. And I think at some point I'm going to take like a work trip where I'm going to have to get with my CEO, see if he'll let us like take like 10 people at the same time. I don't know that he will, but if he does, it'll be great. So I think that's something I need to do a better job of though.
And what I've found, you know, coming back from Africa and people asking, people usually are actually pretty interested, because it's not like, oh, how was your trip? Oh, good. I went to the beach. I hung out. You know, it was a good vacation. Good, relax. It's not that. It's like, how was your trip? Well, I was in Africa. It was a mission trip and we were doing this and that. You know, like people are much more interested and they're more open, like, oh, wow. You know, versus I feel like sometimes in ministry or in whatever, you know, if you say like you were, oh, I'm a minister. Oh, you know, then people kind of shut down the conversation because they're like, oh, I don't want to, you know, oh, you're holy, whatever, you know, whatever that means. But I feel like when you talk about going to Africa, people are like, oh, really? That's crazy. You went halfway around the world to not go on vacation. Like what were you doing over there?
People will ask me sometimes, did you mean Africa? Or if I say I've been to Liberia, they'll double check. Now, where is that? Because Africa is not a place that you go typically. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. You're thinking about like Italy, Europe, you know, somewhere like that, somewhere in the U.S. It's really cool. So it gets a lot of attention, a lot of opportunity to share. And like I always tell everybody, come with us. And that's what I would say to everybody listening. Like, come with us. It's not what you think either. And I don't even know what you think. So I can say that because no matter what we really do think it's going to be, it always ends up being something different.
Yeah.
And Africa is unique. But again, going back to mission, though, our mission is never bigger than one person in front of us, right? It's never bigger than the next step. So from that perspective, we're on mission all the time. So you don't have to go to Africa to be on mission, right? We're on it right now. But if you really want to see life change, I think we do have to sometimes just go and get out of our own environment.
And now one thing I did want to also kind of promo in our own sense, you know, but the Layover podcast, we've been talking about it's part of the Jet Plane podcast. Go, you know, you can go onto our page anywhere on Spotify, our iHeartRadio, RSS, wherever you go and listen to the podcast, it's on there. But there are some bonus episodes, so they may be at the bottom, but they're the layovers, and they're all the different countries that Sam and Edward have visited through the 5410, and I think right now there's 17 of them, but obviously there's going to be more here in just a week, and there's going to be four more, the ones that you mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. So something unique that we're going to do, it's a little difficult to fly Edward all the way to the U.S. just to record a podcast, but so you're going to take over. We're going to hand the jet plane over, let you fly the jet plane for a few episodes here of some layovers. So that way, you know, you and Sam and Edward actually on the ground recording these layovers. So I think that's kind of unique.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I guess, getting in the cockpit and taking over the plane. I don't know that I can do as good a job as you guys, obviously.
Well, obviously, you may be a little uncomfortable. I know this isn't really your thing.
This is not my thing. Yeah. I'm very nervous.
You'll be an okay sub.
Oh, yeah.
I will do my best to see what I can do. Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it because, you know, when you guys brought that up, it was like, yeah, I would love to do that, because listening to Sam and Edward just kind of talk through what they have encountered. And obviously I'll be a part of it on this trip, but I think it's important for people to hear because each country does, it just has a story associated with it. Well, a tons of stories, but the ones that I've been listening to, like I said earlier, when you asked me, it's impacted me a lot. So yeah, I look forward to it. I am honored to be on the jet plane today, number one. And man, the thought of actually, you know, taking the controls for a little bit.
Yeah.
Really exciting. So I'm looking forward to that.
Now we're joking around a little bit because, you know, obviously, you're for the people who don't know you, your dream job is to do some sort of a, what, radio show, sports talk, something like
that. Yeah, I mean, I've always told my boss, and it's still true today, that probably the only reason I'm quitting, like, today is, you know, a lot of people say if they win the lottery, they'd quit. I doubt that I would. I like what I do. But if ESPN or Fox Sports calls me and says, hey, we want you to come call a game courtside, I'm going today.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a promo too, maybe, for everybody out there listening. So like if All Al Michaels you know, any of those people are listening to me and you think, man, he sounds great, I'm ready and willing to take on Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, anything really.
There you go. Yeah.
So there you go. Oh,
yeah. I'll throw my hat in that ring too. You know, Sal, you want to throw your hat in the ring too? If famous people want to call you and hit you up?
No doubt.
Okay, sweet. I'm glad we're all on board.
And I'd love to add also, I mean, there's an open spot for you here on the jet plane, Randy. We pay nothing, and you're incredibly overqualified.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, I'm not a lit head, so I'm more on the just, you know, as I've heard how uneducated my son really is on reading, I'm like, where did he get that? And as I watch his mom read every day, and I'm not, I'm like, I know right where he got it. But, you know, yeah, I would love to do something like that. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah. So, well, we appreciate having you on. Is there anything I like to give this to our guests, just anything that you want to challenge our listeners with this week, something that they can take with them this week as they go to work, as they go wherever, as they go about their day, just something that they can take, and whether it's encouragement, whether it's a challenge, anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the past, I don't know, probably month to 2 months, there's three words that I have been focused on, and I'll throw it out as a challenge to everybody. And it's these three words: faithful, grateful, and content. And those words have been coming to me as a challenge that I need to be faithful every day, faithful, obviously to the Lord, but just faithful in what I do. And that's the word one. Two is grateful, and being grateful for what I have. And that's a perspective change. And what I've been trying to do is every day before I get out of bed, after I wake up, I try to just be grateful. I just think of things I'm grateful for. And then finally, content. And content is different than being comfortable. Content is saying, hey, I'm content with what I have. It's very close to grateful. I think they're very related. And all three of them are, right? So if I'm faithful every day, if I'm grateful every day, and I'm content every day, I feel like my life is going to, it's going to look different than if I was absent of those. So I'll throw that out to all of the jet plane listeners as a challenge, and to both of you as well, not only the next week, but always as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like how tangible that is, that it's just, I mean, almost these quick, simple things that you can do that can change your kind of whole perspective on the day.
So, and that's it. I appreciate the challenge. It's a perspective change, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
All right. Faithful, grateful, and content. So set that on your alarm clocks in the morning. Unless you're not a morning person, then maybe do it at night.
Yeah, right.
Some people can't be grateful in the morning. But...
No. Or content.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been great having you on, and we'll definitely be praying for your trip.
Thank you.
Looking forward to hearing the stories and the layovers. And for the listeners out there, be looking forward to hearing those layovers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're not just faking it with the layovers. We recorded all the other ones in Uganda, in Africa, and these other layovers, they're going to be recorded in Angola, supposedly. I mean, we'll see. You never know what Africa is going to bring you. You could end up in five different countries, but
that's right.
You know, these next ones will be recorded on ground in Africa with Sam and Edward and Randy. So, yeah, that'll be sweet. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that I don't have to hear my own voice and I can listen to this podcast.
That will be nice. A little break for you.
Right, yeah.
And by the way, I appreciate you guys. I really do, what you guys are doing here. I know a lot of people are listening. I've been sharing this with other people too. So keep at it. It matters. You guys matter. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Absolutely.